I want to speak to you guys on a subject tonight that's been on my heart today. And the title of the message tonight is Tune In. Tune In. How many of you like to listen to the radio? You like to listen to radio, you like to listen to, you know, or like in my truck is so old that it doesn't have the auxiliary input, so you can't listen to your iTunes or your iPhone or whatever, you can't plug in your own music. See, I just have to listen to the radio, either that or put a CD in there, and that's, that exactly, I know. So I don't have that option in my vehicle, so oftentimes I'm tuning the radio dial. What happens, you know, when you tune that radio dial, it picks up a frequency, right? And that frequency allows the music to come into the vehicle and project through the speakers into my ears, and I can hear it. But I had to do something first. I had to turn the radio on. I had to tune in. And God spoke to me today. And so I want to tell you just a little story, a little short story here. I was talking with a customer, and this particular customer... he's an elderly man, and really nice, and I'm just a really smart guy, and I enjoyed talking to him because he had lots of questions, and he had all the right questions, and he said, "Okay, Steve, let me ask you this question, then. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you for spending time with me and letting me ask these questions, because sometimes I just don't understand it, so I just like to ask questions." And I'm like, "Man, that's okay. It's great." And so he was asking some questions, and we were talking a little bit. We had a conversation on the phone before I arrived, and he said, "What time will you be there?" And I said, "Sometime between 7:30 and 8 in the morning, I'll be there." And I got there right about 7:40, and he's like, "Steve, you said you would be here between 7:30 and 8, and you did it. Thank you so much." It's just so nice. It's just a smile on his face, and I appreciated his heart. He was so kind and smiling. But he asked if I could be there early because his wife has early onset of Alzheimer's, which means that she's not all there in her mind. She doesn't remember things, and she forgets. She's forgetful on things. And you know, anybody have a grandparent or somebody Alzheimer's? My grandmother, before she passed, she didn't remember things. Am I saying it wrong? Alzheimer's? Alzheimer's? Huh? How do I say it, Junior? Alzheimer's. I was pretty close. Thank you. So she has Alzheimer's, and so he told me that ahead of time. He's like, "So that'd be great because she'll still be asleep. And so that way we can have our discussion, we can talk, maybe have some coffee and talk through the plans for our project." He's wanting to redo his kitchen. And so I spent some time with him. He's so genuine, so heartfelt, but he has a little bit of a hearing problem. All right. Does anybody know anybody that has a bit of a hearing problem? And you say something to them, and they're like, "What?" And then you say it a little bit louder so that maybe possibly they could hear this time. So you know people like that. Maybe you're that person who has a selective hearing problem. I think sometimes my children have selective hearing problems because they can be standing next to me and I can say, "Go and do this." And they're like, "What? I didn't hear you." But then they can be in four rooms away, outside, sawing something, and I can whisper something to my wife, and they say, "I heard that." I'm like, "What? You couldn't hear that? What do you mean? I heard what you said, and you said to Mom this and that." And I was like, "How did you hear that? You couldn't hear me right in front of your face saying, 'Go wash the dishes,' but you heard me tell my wife we're going to take a trip to go watch the movies? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What? It's all in tuning in, right? Because they just weren't quite tuned in to the things that we didn't really want to do. But those things we really want to do is like, I'm tuning into that. So, back to my story, the elderly gentleman, we're having this conversation. And a few times I would turn my back like this. And I was talking about something on the cabinetry. And he'd say, "What?" And I'd turn around and he'd have his hand right here in his ear. And he'd lean into me, "What?" Like this. And he'd say, "Say that again." And so I'd speak up, you know, and I tried to remember, because sometimes my voice will get softer and I'll just talk in the normal range. So I tried to keep the volume up because I wanted him to be able to hear me. I didn't want him to not be able to connect with me. I wanted him to be able to hear the words that I was saying because it was important. The conversation that we were having was very important. It was vital to the project, and he needed to hear every word. Because if he didn't hear every word, then he was going to be lost in the whole contract and the whole purpose of what we're doing. He wouldn't know his part in that he needed to play in the process, right? Because he needed to hear every word. So he would occasionally, probably 5, 6, 7 times, he'd say, "What?" And I'd look at him and he'd have his hand by his ear and he'd lean into me. And so this went on for about 20 minutes and I did some measuring and we did a little banter back and forth. We were talking about a couple of things and getting some information from one another. And he was like, "Let me write that down." And he was taking some notes and writing. And he said, "Hey, let me ask you one more thing. What about that?" And I would say that. He'd say, "What?" And then he said, "Oh, now say it a little bit louder." And then he would write that down. He's like, "Okay, okay, okay. I remember now. Okay, I got it written down." And so it's just a sweet man. I'm talking just sweet, sweet man. And so we were kind of drawing to the end of our time there together. We were about to be done, and I was getting close. And I was thinking I had one more thing I was about to say. And we were kind of in conversation. He was saying a few words to me. And all of a sudden, he said, "I hear my wife." Just like that. And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "She's awake. I can hear her. I got to go. Just see yourself out. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate your time." And he was gone. And I'm telling you what, I even was like walking through, like going out the front door, and I was like, I can hear nothing. I was like, I don't know what he heard. But I'm telling you what, I believe that that old man who had been married he's in his 70s, probably been married for 50 years or more to that one lady, has heard her voice so much that he was immediately tuned into that. Do you get it? Immediately when he heard her voice, something happened. And he was like, "Whoa." I'm sorry, I forgot her name. She has an old, cool name. And I wish I could remember it. Maybe it'll come to me. It doesn't matter. But she said, I hear my wife. I hear my wife. I got to go. I got to go." And within, this elderly gentleman who had so much conversation in him, and I can tell that probably maybe he spent some time alone in the conversation, so having someone there was nice to have conversation with. And we spent a little bit of time just conversing, and we talked about Thanksgiving and about family, and it was nice because he enjoyed the conversation. But just as soon as he heard his wife's voice, he was like, "We're done. See you later. I got to go. I hear my wife's voice. She's calling me." And I was like, "You what?" And he was gone. And I'm like, he's like, "See yourself out," as he's going down the hallway. And I was going out the front door, and I was like, I was going to wait a second. He's like, "I want to hear her voice. I don't hear a thing." I'm leaning in. I'm like, and now I'm doing this. What? What? And I got pretty good hearing. Pretty good. So I'm listening. And I'm like, and so I opened the door one more time, and I was about to close the door, and I was like, stuck my ear one more time. I'm like, "I don't know what that was amazing." See, listen. That sweet old man was so tuned into his wife's voice. For years, he's been listening. He's been hearing. They've had conversations. He knows his wife's voice. He knows it intimately. Listen, I want to ask you this question. And I think you know it's coming. God is constantly speaking to us. And our conversation with Him needs to be so much so that we're tuned in to His every word. That when He speaks, when something happens, we hear Him and we respond to that and we are healed and we are moved because there's such a connection. So my question to you is this today. Are you tuned in? Are you tuned in to God today? Are you tuned in to what He's saying? Are you tuned in to His heart? Are you tuned in to His call? Because sometimes His call is not very loud. Sometimes His call is in a very quiet, calm, still voice. Which brings me to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 19. And let's look. I don't want to read the whole story here, but if you look at verse 1, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done." What Elijah had done was just killed a whole bunch of the bad prophets, the bad guys. How he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent him a message and said, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of them." This dude just killed a multitude of prophets. Fire from heaven came down. consumed an altar and all the water around it, and he destroyed and beat and destroyed all these prophets. They all died at his hand because of the power of God moving through him. And this one lady says, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna kill you." And something, fear struck him, and he ran. And Elijah was afraid, it says, verse 3, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Oh God, I'm going to die. Now, sometimes we look at this story, and I've read this before, but I feel like that sometimes I think about my own life and my own situations and things I'm going through, and I think, oh God, I'm going to die. And tonight we sang that song, "I Believe That You Can Do It Again." And when we were singing this song earlier today, the Lord was just reminding me of His faithfulness in my life, and reminding me of all of His benefits and His goodness over me and His grace over me. How many of you can remember how God's been good to you? Think about this for a second. How has God been good to you? Ask yourself that question, please. How has God been good to you? How has He blessed you? How has He brought you out of your darkness? How has He healed you? How has He done miracles? Can we just believe in Him? And here is Elijah, and this woman says, "I'm going to kill you by the next... It's going to happen, you're going to die." He got afraid, and he ran, and he sat by a tree, and he's like, "Oh, woe is me, I'm going to die." And oftentimes I think sometimes we just get kicked. One time we're just down, but then the enemy likes to kick us when we're down. And we feel like, in that moment, this is it. I'm done. I have been hit with the hardest, and I'm not going to make it. And I know we've all experienced this. I know we've all experienced the emotions that Elisha was going through. The fear, the worry, the anxiety, not knowing what the future is going to hold, not knowing what's going to be next, and having a bit of fear, and just saying, "I just give up." So he said, "I just might as well give up. I might die." And the Lord said, "I have enough, Lord." And he says, "I have had enough, Lord." And you've ever said that to God? "I've had enough. This is enough. I can't do anymore." He says, "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then I lay down at this tree and fall asleep." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. And at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there was the head of a cake and bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into the cave and spent the night. Elisha, I believe, was losing the frequency that God was speaking. Any of you ever, you're in the radio, and then something happens, somebody bumps it, and it just goes one notch, and it goes from music, you know, going on, Christmas music, whatever's on right now, and it goes to static. Yep. You guys know what I'm talking about? All it takes is that one little bump, and all of a sudden it's where the beautiful music was, that was washing over us. Oh, it's so wonderful. The music, and all of a sudden, is static. This is where Elisha was. One little bump from this lady who says, "You're going to die," threw his tune off just a little bit, right to static. And he was not tuned in to what God said. So he said, "God, I give up. I'm done. I'm done with this." The angel came and ministered to him and said, "You get up, you got to travel a little further." He moved on, and he finally found himself in the mountain of God. He moved back to the presence of God, where everything makes sense, where God wants him to be, where he wants us to be, to get tuned back in to listening to what God's saying, to listening to his word, to listening to his still voice, to understanding what he's saying, getting tuned back in. I think some of us tonight have had our knobs bumped and adjusted a little bit, maybe by life, maybe some circumstances have hit recently, or maybe some things have gone on in your life. I can say that for me, it's been like that. I get hit, and maybe there's something goes on in your life, and you fall into temptation, and you allow things to come in, and you get a little bit out of tune. You get that tuning off just a touch and they're static. And you feel like that you're a bit lost. And when the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for you, Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left." By the way, that was not true. He was not the only prophet left. He was not the only one left. He just thought he was the only one. Have you ever felt like you're the only one? Here I am, all by myself, stuck in this mess, and it's me, and I'm here with no help. I'm by myself. I might as well just die. This is where Elijah was. He was fell to the deepest place. I'm by myself. And now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord God says, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, and the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, and it shook, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled up his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mountain of the cave. The voice of the Lord says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And in that moment, God began to speak again to Elijah, and he heard God's voice and he got tuned back in, and he gave him direction, told him to go back where he came from, go do what I told you to do because you're going to follow through with what I said, and when you do that, you will be blessed. And he did, and he followed the Lord. So listen, listen, God is calling you. Maybe you've got knocked off of your path. Maybe you've got your direction just torqued a little bit. Maybe you just got the frequency off just a touch, and there's a bit of static, and there's a bit of a lack of connection, and there's something going on between you and God, and there's this missing. And maybe fear has creeped in, and maybe you've just decided, "I don't know if this is even worth it." Listen to this. The Lord's speaking to me right now. There's some of you in this room that you've even said, "I don't even know if I believe all this Christian stuff. I don't know if I even believe some of that stuff I've heard all these years. Maybe it's not true." You've had somebody that's close to you say some lies to you, an atheist friend, somebody that doesn't believe in God. It's just, "Man, we're just here, we just live, we just die. All that Christian stuff means nothing." Some of you have been told that. Listen, I want to tell you something. It's time for you to tune back into God's truth. Tune back into His Word. Listen to His voice. It's not in the earthquake and the fire and in the wind, but it's in the still small whisper of God. It's time to tune back in. Because that tuning off, that misconnection, misalignment with God is causing there to be some static and some friction in your life. So tonight is the night to get aligned. So how do we do that? We do just what Elijah did. When he didn't know what to do, when he thought he was going to be done, he ran to the mountain of God, the mountain of Horeb, which was called the mountain of God. He ran to the presence of God. And I'm telling you, man, when you feel like that you are lost, and you feel like that you've lost focus and connection, and it's not going the way you think it should, it's time to run back into the first love. Why do we give up on the first thing, the most important thing, to pursue things that don't matter? We have to make sure the first things are first. His presence, His life in us, His whisper, His voice in us. Because listen, there's going to be the wind. There's going to be the fire. There's going to be the earthquakes. There's going to be lots of noise in your life. But it's time for us to begin to put the cloak of God's glory over us and say, "God, I want to hear Your voice. I want to hear what You have to say. I don't want to be distracted and afraid and in bondage and believing these lies that I'm by myself, that I'm the only one, that maybe I should just give up because it's too hard." Listen, or maybe those atheist people are right. Maybe it's just we're just here and we just live and we just die and none of this matters. I'm here to tell you that if you begin to believe one lie, you will begin to believe all the lies. And when you begin to believe all the lies, you are headed to the grave. God wants His truth to shine in you, His love, His grace to overshadow those lies and begin to believe again. So we move back into His presence. We move back into His presence. Maybe we need to take some moments to spend some alone time with God, because we need to block off the distractions, block off the noise a little bit. Because sometimes, you know, you can be tuned in to the right station, but if the volume's not loud enough and all the noise around you is everything is louder. You ever been in the room trying to watch a TV show and somebody's got this on and somebody's making this noise and somebody's making that noise and there's something going on in the kitchen and they're having a conversation behind you and you're like, I can't even hear. I see the TV moving, but I don't know what's going on in there. Has anybody experienced that? You know what I'm talking about? Your life is filled with noise. You wonder why you can't hear God's voice, is because there's so many voices right now over you, in you, in your mind, in your heart. Maybe it's time to turn some things down, turn the volume down of some of the stuff in our lives, and turn the volume up and tune in to what God's saying. Because if you will, if we can be like Elijah, if we can listen to God's voice and He says, what are you doing? Go back to what I said for you to do. Go get busy. God's word and instruction will come. His life will come. And His purpose will come. And your future will happen. And His grace will come over you. And His power over you. And His life in you. When you begin to hear His voice and obey. It seems so simple, but yet it's a lifelong journey. So today I want to challenge you with this. Tune in to God's voice. Can you stand with me tonight? Can we pray? Tonight, you feel like that maybe your radio dial, your connection with God has been bumped a degree or two, and there's a bit of static between you and God. And maybe you've experienced some fear, maybe you've experienced this quiet, and this, or maybe the noise is so much so around you that you are struggling to stay focused on what God is saying. Nobody looking around. If that's you in this room, lift your hand high right there. I want to pray with you, because I believe this is for lots of us in here. Come on, lift your hand if that's you. Can we all lift our hands in this room and let's pray this? I want to pray this prayer. God, I thank You, Lord, that You give us instruction in Your Word to help us know that You are always drawing us in the still small voice, that You are speaking to us and telling us, hey, here I am. Come on, let's go. And so, God, I speak right now to these, everyone under the sound of my voice, and I declare fear broken right now. No longer will we be distracted, God, by the noise around us. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that You give us wisdom and some of the things that we need to turn off in our lives, some of the visual things, some of the sounds that we hear, some of the thoughts, some of the things that we put in, some of the books that we read, some of the time we spend here and there. God, let some of the noise be turned off. Let some of the so-called friends in our lives be disconnected from our lives, so that those voices are not confusing us with Your truth. So right now, I pray right now in Jesus' name, God, that You would begin to speak Your still small voice right now. So we say, God, we tune in to Your word, to Your grace, to Your future, to Your plans. And just like Elijah, I know that You're going to bring us into Your future. I speak that in Jesus' name. Amen.